Okay, good morning, everyone. Today, we're learning Brachos Daf Chaf Hei. This week is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and Omo Construction. And we are nearing the end of the third perek of Maseches Brachos. That's very exciting stuff. Next week, we'll be finishing the perek and starting the fourth perek, Tfilas HaShachar. It's a good time to quickly reflect on the various topics we've spoken about in the third parak. The third parak of Parak Misha Meso has covered a whole bunch of different topics. Started off talking about aninus, when there's a mace, and how you're exempt from doing mitzvos when one is an onain. We spoke about the concept of kavod abrios being docha lo saaseh shebetorah, that sometimes halacha acknowledges the fact that someone may be embarrassed about a certain situation. We spoke about that. We spoke about women being exempt from certain mitzvos. Mitzvah seish as man grama, women's obligation in various things like kiddush and benching. We then spoke about coming to shul late and how you should try to make sure you say kedusha with the tzibur. And we also spoke about the whole concept of a bal keri. Of a bal keri, someone who has a seminal omission going to the mikvah before they learn Torah, the takana of Ezra, and how that we passing like a Yehuda ben Becerra, that we remember vatel that and don't hold of that lehalacha nowadays. And now we're in the last section of the third parak of Maseches Brachos, talking about the bathroom issues. We spoke about bringing tefillin into the bathroom, davening when you feel the need to use the bathroom, and now we're going to be talking about davening in front of tzoa or meraglayim. Davening in front of tzoa, which is excrement, or meraglayim, which is urine, and the Gemara's various details of what kind of tzoa or meraglayim is a problem or is not a problem. These kinds of davening make you very appreciative of the advent of indoor plumbing, because we don't have some of these details lamaisa nowadays, but there are definitely things that come up lamaisa with these topics. So let's get started. We are at the two dots on Chaf Hei Amid Aleph. It's around 15 lines down. The first word on the line is itmar. Itmar. Reach ra sheyesh lo ikir. Let's say there is a foul smell, and it's yesh lo ikir. There is a source to that smell that's also nearby. For example, there's tzoa, there's excrement, and it has a foul smell. So Rav Huna amar marchik dalad amos vekorei kriyashma. Rav Huna says, go 4 amos away, and then say kriyashma. Rav Chista amar marchik dalad amos bimokam shepasak hareyach vekorei kriyashma. Don't just go 4 amos away from the source. Go 4 amos away from the foul smell. It shouldn't smell at all where you are if you want to say kriyashma. Tanya kavaseder Rav Chista, and support Rav Chista to go 4 amos away from the smell. It says, "Lo yikare adam kriyashma, lo can I get soas adam, but lo can I get soas klavim, but lo can I get soas chazirim, but lo can I get soas tarnagolim." You shouldn't say kriyashma near the waist of a human, or dogs, or pigs, or chickens. Lo can I get ashba, or nor near a dumpster. Sharecha ra, which has a foul smell. Im hayamakum gavoa saratvachim, o namocha saratvachim, yoshe bitzido. If the smell or the ashba is 10 tvachim above you or 10 tvachim below you, it's on like a different plane, then you can say kriyashma over there as long as you don't smell anything. It's not considered as if it's in front of you. But in lav, if not, then you should go away so you can't see it anymore. V'chein the tefillah, not only kriyashma, also shmona esrei, and this is what's going to support Rav Chista. Reach ra sheyesh lo iker, marchik dalad amos mimakum hareyach v'korei kriyashma. Go 4 amos away from the smell. Amar Rava, leis hilchasak yamas nisa. We don't paskin like that brisa. It's a bit misleading. We do paskin like Rav Chista, who says you should go 4 amos not from the source of the smell, but from the actual smell itself. You shouldn't smell anything. But Rava wants to add a particular detail to that brisa we just quoted. Ela ki hadatanya, like the following brisa. Lo yikari adam kriyashma, lo can I get soas adam, lo can I get soas chazirim, lo can I get soas klavim. You should not say kriyashma near the waist of a person, or pigs, or dogs, but not any time there's any waste of an animal. Specifically, bizman shen nasa. Only when the waste of the animal has hides inside of it. That was part of the tanning process, to turn the hide of an animal into leather. Part of the process, apparently, was to put it into the waste product of an animal. And that was particularly where that tzoas klavim would smell very putrid. And that's when you can't dive in front of the tzoa of an animal. Otherwise, it would not be a problem. Bomi Namer of Sheshes. What about a Reach Rasha Ainlo Wicker? They ask of Sheshes about a Reach Rasha Ainlo Wicker. It's a foul smell, but there's no actual physical source to that smell. Rashi says, for example, if someone passed gas nearby, can you say Kriyashma if you're smelling the gas that's in the same room? So Mahu, what's the Alacha? Amalahu, he responded, Asu Chazu Hani Tzipi Debe Rav. Go look at the mats in the Beis HaMedrash. There are mats on the floor that people were sleeping on, and other people in the Beis HaMedrash were learning Torah. The Hani Ganu, the Hani Garsi, some people are sleeping, some people are learning, and it's not a problem. Even though, Rashi points out, people when they're sleeping, they don't have complete control, and people may be passing gas in the same room. Still, other guys were learning Torah. We see it's not going to be a problem. The hani mili b'divrei Torah. That's only by learning Torah. Although the kriya shma lo, you cannot say kriya shma if you smell the reach rasha ein lo ikir. B'divrei Torah nami lo arman ela dechavrei. Mara has an interesting chiluk. You can only learn Torah if someone else had passed gas nearby. About the day, if it was you yourself who passed gas, lo, you should not learn Torah. But in terms of kriya shma, as we're talking about in davening, it would definitely be a problem if you smell the foul smell, and you should make sure that you wait for the smell to dissipate before continuing to daven or say kriya shma. So that was reach rasha yesh lo ikir and reach rasha ein lo ikir. Itmar, tsoa overes. Let's say there's tsoa, there's excrement, but it's not just sitting there in the room, it's being passed through the room that you're davening in. So does that make a difference? So it's a machlokes. Abaye amar mutter likros kriya shma, rava amar aser likros kriya shma. So it's a machlokes whether it's mutter or aser. Amar abaye, mina aminala. How do I know that it's mutter? Why should it be a difference? If it's in the room because it's stationary or because it's in motion, who cares why it's in the room or what its process is in the room? It should be a problem either way. So Abaye says, I have a mishnah in Maseches Negayim to prove to me that it's going to be a mutter. Just the background, the Mishnah is going to talk about a person who has tzara'as. Negam is about a person who has tzara'as. We're generally familiar with Tumas Ohel when it comes to a dead body. If it's a dead body in the room and a Kohen is in that room, that Kohen is becoming Tameh. That's going to be a violation for the Kohen, as we said, Parshas Emor, a violation of the Kohen to be in the same room as a dead body, because the Tumah of the dead body spreads to anybody in the room. The same is also true for a Mitzora. A guy who has tzara'as, also, if he's in the same room or under the same tree, as the Mishnah's example, anyone else who's in under that same tree is going to become Tameh. That's the concept of Tumas Ohel. The Tumas spreads to anybody in the Ohel. So how does that help us anything to do with Soa?
So Ohel could be like a baby with a diaper.
It could be. Maybe it's like walking around. Yeah, as long as it's like on its way out, I think. If it's not like walking around the room, but if it's like on its, it's like coming, it's like passing through. So then what would be the halacha? So the Mishnah Maseches Neglaim, it says as follows. Ditznan, Hatamei Omei Tachas Ha'ilon. A Tamei, a Metzora, who is standing under a tree. The Hatahar Ober, and a Tahar person is passing by. Tamei, as we just said, if you pass by the same tree that the Metzora is under, you become Tamei. This is actually, the next part is actually going to help us. But Tahar Omei Tachas Ha'ilon, there's a regular guy who's standing under a tree, and the Tamei Ober, the Metzora just walks by under the tree with you, but he's never stationary, standing in the same spot. He's always passing through. And then the Mishnah says, Tahor. You're going to be Tahor in that case. And if the Metzora stands in the same spot, he's stationary, then you're going to be Tameh. If he's passing through, it's not going to make you Tameh. Not only if it's a person who has Tzara'as, even a stone that has Tzara'as. There are three different ways you can get Tzara'as on your body, or on your clothing, or on your house. And if you got Tzara'as on your house and there's a stone that has Tzara'as, the same halacha applies that if a person is standing while holding it as opposed to walking while holding the stone. But the important thing for us is that perhaps just like by Mitzora, who is only going to transfer Tumah to everybody if he's standing still, but if he's walking through, he's not going to make a problem for Tumah, so too also by Tsoa. Tsoa that's passing through Tsoa Alvarez should not be a problem. That's Abaye's proof of Masakas Negaim. The Rava Amalacha, Rava responds and says, no, that's not comparable at all. Hasam Bikviusa Talya Milsa. There, by Mitzora, you can't compare Tsara'as to Tsoa, because by Tsara'as, The Torah explicitly says that it only transfers tuma bikviyusa when it's standing still. Dichsiv badad yeshev michutz hamachaneh moshavo. Pasuk in Tazria says that they have to be badad yeshev, and it says moshavo when he's sitting, when he's standing in the same area, same location, standing still. That's when he's going to transfer tuma. So that's by tzara'as. But here by tzoa hacha v'haya machanecha kadosh amar achmana the haleika. By us it says the camps should be holy. The place where you're davening should have some sanctity to it. And the haleika, you don't have that. Even if it's passing through, it's still going to be a problem. So that's a machlokes, Abaye, and Rava about Tsoa Overes. So we had Reach Rasha Yesh Lewiker, we had Reach Rasha Ein Lewiker, and now we had Tsoa Overes. Amar Rav Papa, Pi Chazir Ketsoa Overes Dummy, the mouth of a pig is just like a Tsoa Overes, because the mouth of a pig is very disgusting, it's a very disgusting snout, and it's like walking around, so it's like Tsoa Overes. It should be subject to that same machlokes. Pshita, obviously, it's very disgusting. Lo Tzricha Afagav the Salak Minahara, even though it actually just came out of the river, and it's squeaky clean. It's still going to be a problem because by definition it is a place that is full of waste, kind of like a toilet bowl. Even if it's actually clean, we're going to see later on, just the fact that it is designated for that purpose makes it a problem. So to the pi chazir, even if it's clean, it's still going to have that status of being a problematic, like tzoa overes. Amar Rav Yehuda, Safek Tzoa Asura, Safek Miraglayim Mutter. If you have a Safek, you're unsure if there's Tzoa or not in the room, you have to go to Chumra, it's going to be Asur. to daven over there. A suffix by miraglayim, by urine, you could be makel, it's mutter. Ikeda amri, another version of that suffix. Amr of Yehuda, suffix tsoa b'bayis muteres. Be'ashba asura. You have a suffix about whether there's tsoa or not in the room, that's only okay in the house. Because in the house, unless you know for a fact there's a reason that there should be tsoa in there, usually there is not going to be tsoa in your house. But by a garbage dump, there's reason to assume that there might be, and therefore it's going to be asur. Suffix miraglayim, afilu ba'ashba nami muter. Miraglayim though, even by an ashba, if you have a suffix whether there is or isn't, we're going to be makel. We have reasons to be makel by miraglayim, even more so than by tsoa. Why is it that we're makel by miraglayim? So the Gemara explains. Savar la ki hadar of Hamnuna, based on the following teaching of Rav Hamnuna. Damar of Hamnuna, lo asra Torah ala keneged amod bilvad. First step is the Torah, midah oraisa, is only a problem to daven in front of miraglayim when it's keneged amud, meaning there's a stream of urine. There's someone actually actively urinating in the room. That's a problem, midah oraisa. But just on the floor, maybe not midin Torah, there's no problem whatsoever. But it could Rabbi Yonasan. Then also tack on Rabbi Yonasan. The Rabbi Yonasan, Rami Ksid. Rabbi Yonasan brought a contradiction between two psukim in Parshas Ki Tetzei. Ve'yad tiyeh lecha michutz l'machaneh ve'yatzasa shal machutz. The pasuk in Ki Tetzei is Ki Tetzei la'milchama. It's talking about people who are in war. They have to use the bathroom when you're in the war camps. So it says you should go out ve'yatzasa shal machutz. No mention of covering your waist when you're done. But the next pasuk says, Uksid ve'yasei tiyeh lecha. You should bring a spike. And you're going to use that to dig a hole. Ve'chisisas te'yasei and to cover up your waist when you're finished. So haketzad, one pasuk says to cover, one pasuk doesn't say anything about covering. So there must be kan begedolim, kan beketanim. That when it comes to gedolim, by excrement you have to cover it up, according to the text of the Torah is teaching us. But by ketanim, by urine, there's no need to cover it up. What's the distinction? Alma, we see ketanim lo asra Torah ala keneged amal bilvad. On a Torah level, there's only a problem if it's actually a stream of miraglayim. But if it's just on the floor, there's no problem. Mida oraisa hanafel. It's mutter if it's just there on the floor. But the midrabanan, the rabanan who the gazri behu, the rabanan decree that there's a problem to daven in front of miraglayim. The chiyot gazri behu rabanan bevadaan al besfekan lo gazur. The rabanan only goes there. You can't daven if there's vadai, if there's definitely miraglayim, if there's a suffix, if you're not sure lo gazur. There's not going to be a rabbinic decree to not daven in front of miraglayim. The classic rule, another long-winded way of saying suffix the rabanan lekula. Something about miraglayim, you could be makel because it's only a din the rabanan if it's just there on the floor. By tsoa, that's a problem on the floor. Even if it's midah oraisa, that's a problem. Therefore, we're going to be machmir by a suffix tsoa, suffix oraisa lechomra, miraglayim or makel, suffix miraglayim lekula, suffix derabanan lekula. Yeah, so our daf is more talking about davening and kriyashma, except for when we said reach ra, we said that actually learning, there is a kula, that learning is mutter, as long as it wasn't you who passed gas, it is mutter with that foul smell, she'ein lo ikr. I think on last week's daf, on the bottom of Chaftad and Mabez, we spoke about even being mehar her Torah, be'makom ha-metunafo, so like thinking of Torah in the bathroom, for example, is problematic. So I think it does have similar halachos, but except for that kula that we had about reach ra, she'ein lo ikr. Yeah, I think Torah may be, davening may be a little more stringent because of the pasuk Hayam Achanecha Kadosh is assumed to be associated with tefillah specifically, but we're careful also for Talmud Torah. So that was Safek, Miraglayim is Lekula, Ubevadaan Ad Kama. Let's say I know for sure that there's Miraglayim on the floor. We should be careful because Midrabanan, you're not allowed to daven in that place. But Ad Kama, how long? If someone, if there was Miraglayim on the floor over here an hour ago, is that still a problem? Maybe it is. What about a day later? What about a month later? A year later? I have to always be concerned because at some point someone had Miraglayim on the floor. Obviously there has to be a Hagdara about when we don't care anymore. So Ad Kama, at what point is it not a problem to daven in front of the place where at one point there was miraglayim? So Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel calls manchem at pichin. As long as it's still wet, that something would get wet if it touched that, if that spot on the floor, that's going to be considered that there's still miraglayim. If it dries up, then there's no problem whatsoever. And Bechen Amar Rabbi Bechan, Amar Yochanan calls manchem at pichin. Bechen Amar Ula calls manchem at pichin. They also agree calls manchem at pichin. As long as it's wet, then it's going to be a problem to daven in front of miraglayim. Geneva, Mishmei Derav, was more machmir. Omar calls Mancheri Shuma Niker. As long as you can see the spot on the ground. So it could be it's not wet anymore. It's dried up, but you see the spot on the ground where the Meraglayim was. That's going to be a problem. That's an additional chumrah of Geneva, quoting the opinion of Rav. Omar Rav Yosef does not think that chumrah of Geneva is true at all. He says, Shara le mare le Geneva. He says, Hashem, please forgive Geneva for being completely incorrect. But hashtat soa, Omar Rav Yehuda, Marav, Kevin Shekarmu. By Tsoa, Tsoa is generally more stringent, and by Tsoa he was makel. He quoted Rav as being makel kevin shekarmu panel. Once it has dried up and it's hardened and it's crusted on its surface, it's mutter. So meraglayim ibai. If you're makel by Tsoa, of course you should be makel by meraglayim. So gneva can't be correct. Amale Abaye. Abaye says to support Geneva, my chazis de samachta aha, samach aha. Why are you relying on that quote from Rav, which is makel by Tsoa, and therefore a problem for Geneva? Samach aha, rely on the following shita that was quoted in the name of Rav. Damarav Rav Huna Amarav. Tsoa afilu kecheres asura. That Rav was machmir by Tsoa. Even if it's kecheres, it's dry and it's hard like clay. That's still going to be asura. What is that exactly? The Gemara goes through the details of how to clarify when it's that tsoa is hard enough that it's considered kecheres, where we're still going to be machmir, it's still going to be azir. But what is that? Amar Barachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, calls man shezorka ve'ena nefreches. If you would throw the tsoa, then it's hard and it wouldn't crumble up. The Eka Da'amri calls man shegolala ve'ena nefreches. If it's hard and it's dried up and to the point where if you roll it, it's ena nefreches, it's not going to crumble. That's what the tsoa kecheres that we're talking about. And then Amar Ravina, Havaka Imna Kameda Rav Yehuda. Ravina was in front of Rav Yehuda, Midifti, Hachaza Tsoa. He saw Tsoa on the floor. He wanted to say Kriyashma. Amar Li Ayin Ikarmu Paneha Ilo. He told Ravina to go and check if the Tsoa had crusted over so we could say Kriyashma or not, because he wanted to be Mekel by Tsoa in that situation. Ika da Amri Hachi Amar Le. Or some say he asked him the following. Amar Li Ayin Imaflue Afluye. Go check if there are cracks in the Tsoa, because that also would be an indicator perhaps that it has dried up and not going to be a problem. So you've quoted different opinions about Tsoa and Meraglayim, about how long it's still going to be a problem, at what point is the Meraglayim is dried up, or the Tsoa is dried up, is it okay or not? So my Havi'Allah, bottom line, what do we actually paskin about Tsoa and Meraglayim? So Gemara says, Itmar, Tsoa kecheres, amemar amar asura, umar zutra amar muteres, it's machlokes, about Tsoa that's dried up like clay, if it's going to be usur or mutter. Amar Rava Hilchasa Tsoa Kecheres Asura. We're machmir by Tsoa even after it's hardened and dried up. It's still going to be usher to daven in front of it. Umeraglayim calls matpichin, but by meraglayim we're only going to be. It's only a problem if it's matpichin, if it's wet and there's still moisture over there. But once the meraglayim has dried up, it's no longer going to be a problem. That's the bottom line halacha. Gemara is now going to just try to clarify this halacha with other brisos. It says, Meisvei, we have a question on that ruling. Meraglayim calls mancha matpichin asurin. First it says meraglayim, if it's matpichin, it's asur. That's good. That's what we just said. If it's still wet, it's going to be asur to daven there. But nivla uo yavshu mutter. If it's absorbed into the ground or if it's dried up, then it's mutter. So what does that last statement mean? My lav nivla u dumya di yavshu. Presumably nivla u, absorbed into the ground, is the same, has the same meaning in the same context as yavshu, and when it dried up, ma yavshu de em yishuma nikr, af nivlau de em yishuma nikr. That when it says nivlau, that it's going to be okay if it's absorbed into the ground, that means that you can't see the mark on the floor at all. So we said, if it's wet, it's a problem. If it's dried up, it's okay, even if you can see the mark on the floor. Rishuman nikr. But here it says that nivlau is okay, mashma harishuma nikr aser, af agav de en matichin. That if you could see a mark on the ground, it's going to be aser, even though it's not wet. So that second part of that brisa seems to be a problem with what we just paskined. But we say back, ulatameich, eima resha. But according to you, look at the first line of that brisa, which actually supported us, where it says, kol zman shemat pichin huda aser, that it's only a problem if it's wet, harishuma nikar shari. But if it's just a mark on the ground that's dried up, it's still going to be mutter. Elameha leka lamash mimina, rather you can't deduce anything from that brisa, because one line supports us, and one line rejects us, it's contradictory on its own, so you can't ask any questions from that brisa. But perhaps, lema ketanai, perhaps to machokes tanaim, about meraglayim, if it has to be wet, or even if it's dried up, but there's a mark on the ground, rishuma nikr is going to be a problem. It's a machlokas tanaim, perhaps, as it says, kli shenishbechum mimenu meraglayim. a kli that is typically used for holding meraglayim, for holding urine, but it's been emptied. So still, asr likros kriyashma kenegdo, you still can't say kriyashma in front of that kli. We're going to have more details about that, the empty kli that's used for tzola meraglayim, and how it's asr to say kriyashma. We'll have that more on the next amud. Meraglayim asman, but our context, actual meraglayim on the floor, shenifshpichu, and it's spilled on the floor, nivla'u mutter, lo nivla'u asr. The first opinion says, it depends on if it's nivla'u or not nivla'u, if it's absorbed or not absorbed. We're going to clarify what that means. Rav Yossi Omer calls mashamat pichin, like we were saying, that it's only a problem if it's still wet, but if it dries up, even if I can see a mark in the ground, if it's dried up, it's going to be okay. But what was that first opinion? My nivla'u, my lo nivla'u, to kamar tanakama. What does tanakama mean about saying it's only a problem if it's lo nivla'u? So what did that mean? Ilema nivla'u de ein matpichin, lo nivla'u de matpichin. If nivla'u is another way of saying that it's dried up, but then that's the same thing as Rav Yossi. The usher of Yossi, the Mi'amar calls mancha matpichin, who the usher, harishuma nikar shari, and then Rav Yossi says that matpichin is a problem, hanatanakama. That's the same exact thing. When the Tanakama says nivlu and no nivlu, if that just means wet or dry, that's exactly what Rav Yossi says a second later. So it must be, if they're arguing, it must be the following. Ela nivlu de in vishuma nikr, and lo nivlu de rishuma nikr. Where the Tanakama says that it's going to be a problem if it's rishuma nikr. Even if it is dried up, it's going to be a problem if it's rishuma nikr, if you can see the mark in the ground. Vasa Rav Yossi lememar, kos man shemat pichinu da asr, harishuma nikr shari. And Rav Yossi says, as we were paskin, that it's only a problem if it's wet, but if it's dried up, it's going to be mutter, even if rishuma nikir. So maybe that's a machlokas Rav Yossi and a Tanakama. The Gemara says, lo, de kulei alma kos man shemat pichin hu da asr, harishuma nikir shari. No, everybody agrees, as we said, that it's only a problem if it's wet. If it's dried up, even if it's rishuma nikir, you could still see the mark in the ground where it once was. If it's dried up, it's mutter, and everyone agrees to that. So what's the Tanakama and Rav Yossi arguing on? The hacha, betofeach amanas lahat piach, ikabinahu. Here, the machlokas is about how wet does it have to be a problem. Some say that tofeach hamanas la'atfiach is the issue. That if it's tofeach hamanas la'atfiach, it's so wet that it can make other things wet. That's the hagdara of that. Only then is it going to be a problem. But if it's not as wet, but it's still kind of wet, that actually may be okay. And then Rav Yossi says no. And another opinion would say no. Any type of moisture is going to be a problem. But everyone agrees that rishuma nikar, if it's dried up and just seeing it on the ground, that's definitely okay. It's a difference in opinion about how wet it needs to be in order to be a problem. So we spoke about...
The problem with urine is that even when it's dried, it has foul smell.
That's true. Yeah, so to summarize now, as we take a slight break on the Amud about Soa and Meraglayim. So, generally speaking, let's just read the topics. We spoke about Reach Rasha Yesh Lewiker, Reach Rasha Ein Lewiker. We spoke about Soa Uveres. We spoke about a Suffolk Soa, Suffolk Meraglayim. And then we spoke about Ad Kama. At what point is it no longer a problem? So, generally speaking, there are two things to be careful about. One is that when it comes to tzoa, it can't be in the room. Even if you don't smell it, it just can't be in the room. If you have to cover it up, if it is in the room. As I said, I once had in Camp Hask where there was tzoa on the floor. Someone went, took a garbage can, put it on top, and we were able to continue davening. It has to be covered up. Let's say it's covered up and you still smell it, that's still a problem. It has to be, you can't see it, and you can't smell it. If any of those things are still present, it's going to be a problem. So if a meraglayim still has a foul smell, that's going to be an issue regardless, I think. It's just a matter of rishuman, once it's dried up, it's not like you have meraglayim in the room, which you have to be concerned about. It's just going to be the smell issue, and once you can get around, if you can get around that, then it's going to be okay. But you always have those two things about you can see it and whether you can smell it. And so the Maisa, the cases that come up, I heard a couple of things coming up now during the pandemic when everyone was davening outside. So you could be davening outside, you could be near a dumpster that has a foul smell, that maybe if there's a reason to think that there may be tzoa in the dumpster, in the trash can, I don't think are typical. That's like your garbage bag that you put outside. I think there's you can assume that there's like a double covering between the bag itself and the, and the bags you put your garbage into. But if you smell something, you don't have to be concerned about, oh, there's definitely tzoa in the room. It's definitely covered up well. But if you smell something, that may be a problem, especially if it's one of those dumpsters where everybody's dumping all their stuff. Even more reason to assume that there may be tzoa in that garbage dump. But let's say you're davening outside and there's bird droppings next to you. So if it doesn't smell, then it's not going to be a problem. But I think we're even makel about certain animal, by animal waste, that if it doesn't smell, it's not, you don't have to actually go and cover it. You probably want to cover it up because it's kind of gross, but I don't think you necessarily need to. By human waste is where we say you have to actually cover it up if it's in the room, but not so much by animal waste. But what does come up, especially if you're talking about human waste, when we have indoor plumbing, so these issues don't come up as much, but as you said, a baby diaper is what would come up. I saw a very interesting distinction that Rosh Shlomo Zalman makes in his Sefer Alif Lo Shlomo on Tefillah. He says, so again, Definitely, if you smell it, it's a problem. Let's say you don't smell it. There's a baby, you know for sure that there's soa in the baby's diaper, but you don't smell anything. Is that a problem or not a problem? Is that considered if it's as if it's covered up or not? So Shlomo Zalman says it's okay if the baby's wearing a diaper and then clothing on top of that diaper. Then that's considered as if it's covered up and you can't smell it, so it's not going to be a problem. If the baby's just wearing a diaper and walking around without anything on except for the diaper, I think that that's not considered enough of a covering, and that would still be a problem, even if you can't smell it, if you know for sure that there is tzoa in the baby's diaper. But now the Gemara is going to continue, take a little bit of a break from the tzoa discussions, and we're going to talk about the Mishnah we had on Chaf Beis Amid Beis. The Mishnah spoke about a case of a guy who goes to the mikvah, and then he says, oh my gosh, I have to say Kriyashma. It's almost Netzachama, it's almost sunrise, and I really need to say Kriyashma before sunrise, so what should I do? So the Mishnah says, you should try to get out of the mikvah and dry yourself off and put your clothes on and then say Kriyashma, but if you can't, you should cover yourself with the water. We're going to explain what that means. You're going to cover yourself with the water and say Kriyashma in the mikvah, because we have to be so careful to say Kriyashma before Netzachama. I don't know about you, I didn't say Kriyashma before Netzachama today. Why is our Mishnah so hung up about saying Kriyashma before Netz, before sunrise, if there's also the Shita of Rabbi Yehoshua, who says you have the first 3 hours of the day to say Kriyashma? So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, quoting the Mishnah, Yarad Litbol Em Yachol Laalos, this case of the guy in the mikvah. So Lema Tana Stama Rabbi Eliezer. It seems like this Mishnah is going like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, to Amar Adha Netzachama, that you need to say Kriyashma by sunrise. That's the actual soul of man Kriyashma. Is that what our Mishnah is going like? No, afilu timur of Yeshua. Even of Yeshua, which we pass can like that you have the first 3 hours of the day to say Kriyashma, still our Mishnah was hung up on saying Kriyashma by Nates. Why? Because Dilma kevasikin. This is a guy who davens vasikin. Damir of Yochanan, vasikin hayugomren osa im hanetachama. That yes, Rabbi Yeshua says that you have the opportunity to say Kriyashma during the first 3 hours of the day, but some people are careful to daven vasikin to say Kriyashma by Netzachama. That's what our Mishnah was talking about, not saying that everybody needs to say Kriyashma by Netz, but the guy in our Mishnah's case was a guy who was careful to say Kriyashma before Netz kivasikin. Mishnah continued, if not, you can't get out in time, cover yourself with the water. So how does that work? The Gemara asks, Vahare libo roa esa erba. We had this concept earlier in the parak about libo roa esa erba. There's a problem if your heart is exposed to the erba, some nakedness in your body. So fine, I can't see anything, but like if you're wearing like a long cloak and no undergarments, so your heart technically can still see, it's still in the same airspace as the erba, that's a problem. So it's over here. Your neck and above is above water, but your heart and the erba is underwater in the same space. So isn't that a problem? We're talking about where it's dark, muddy water. The dambu ki'ara samichta, which is like solid ground. Shalo yirer libo ervaso, since it's dark and muddy water, it's not going to be your heart can't see the erva, so to speak. Tana Rabbanan, what about mayim tzolulin? Let's say it's clear water. Yasha behenat savaro vekore. So the first opinion says, that's okay. Even clear water is okay. Just cover yourself from the neck down in water, and you can say Kriyashma. But yesh omrim och ben baraglo, and some say no. You have to dirty up the water and then say Kriyashma, because it has to be dirty so that your heart isn't seeing the erva. What's the deal with the Tanakama? Tanakama, hariliba roa esa erva. How could the first opinion say that you can say Kriyashma even if you're in clear water? Isn't it a problem of liba roa esa erva? Your heart is exposed to the erva? No, kasavar, liba roa esa erva, mutter. He holds that you're allowed to say Kriyashma when your heart is exposed to an erva. Yeah, but vahare akevo roa esa erva, even besides for your heart being exposed, there's a problem in general of akevo, of your heel. Rashi says even any body part being exposed to the erva is also a problem. No, kasavar akevo roa esa erva mutter. He's also mekel on akevo roa esa erva. Itmar. But let's just clarify these halakos. Akevo roa esa erva mutter. If your heel or any body part is able to see the erva, it's mutter. But no geya. Let's say the body part is actually touching the erva. There, Abaye amar aser, Rava amar mutter. Abaye says it's aser to say Kriyashma. Rava says that it is mutter. Rav Zvid masnila lahashmait sahachi. That's how Rav Zvid taught the machlokes. But Rav Chenna Breder of Ika masnila hachi. He taught the machlokes as follows. A bit switched around. That no geya devre hakol aser. That actually touching the erva, if your akev, if your heel or any part of your body is actually touching the erva, that's going to be usr. But roa is rather than machlokes. Abaye amar usr. Abaye says that it's usr if any part of your body is able to see the erva. But rava amar mutter. Rava says it's mutter because lo nisna Torah the malachei hasharis. The Torah was not given to malachim, to angels. The Torah was given to humans. And it's humanly impossible to not have some body part of yours not seeing or in the same airspace as the yarva, so it must be mutter. It's impossible otherwise. The hilchasa Abaye thinks usher because you can figure it out. There's a way to make sure that your body isn't seeing in the yarva. Rava says no, it's mutter because it's physically impossible to do so. The hilchasa nogeya usher roa mutter, and that's how we paskin that nogeya is usher. If any body part is actually touching the yarva, usher, you can't say kriyashma, but roa is mutter. If it's just seeing, it's in the same airspace, then you are allowed to say kriyashma because of this rule of lo nis natorah la malachei asharis. The Torah was not given to malachim. And this klal comes up in other areas of halacha as well. One very interesting one is about checking vegetables and fruit and vegetables for bugs. There are different, obviously, if there's a chazaka that there may be, if there's reason to assume that there might be bugs in your fruit or in your vegetables, there's an obligation for one to check their fruit or vegetables. But let's say I can't see it by looking. I'm looking at my broccoli and I can't, or my lettuce, and I can't see any bugs in it. Do I have to go and get a magnifying glass or put it under a microscope to go and check if there are bugs or not? Or is it go perhaps by just the naked eye, just the human eye, just looking at things and seeing what and whether there is or isn't bugs? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, you don't have to go getting out a magnifying glass and checking super beyond what the naked eye is able to see, because lo nis natorah la malachei asharis. The Torah was given to humans, not to malachei asharis. It was given based on our own human restrictions and constraints, and Hashem understands that. Hashem gave us the Torah understanding our human and physical capabilities, and therefore halacha is koveya based on what a human is naturally capable of seeing. Amar Rava. Tsoa the ashashis mutter. Let's say there's tsoa, it's in an ashashis, it's in a glass container. So it's covered, but it's glass, so you can still see it. So what's the halacha? So tsoa the ashashis mutter likos kriyashma kenegda. But erva ashashis also likos kriyashma kenegda. If there's an erva in ashashis, there's someone who's undressed, and there's a glass separation between you and them, so it's separated, but you can still see them. Also, lekos kriyashma kenegda, and the Gemara explains it's a very logical distinction. Tsoa b'ashashis moter lekos kriyashma kenegda, that tsoa b'kisui talya milsa, tsoa, and this needs to be covered. It all depends on it being covered. The hamechasya, and it is covered. Yes, you can see it, but it's still considered covered. But erva b'ashashis, also lekos kriyashma kenegda, but erva, that's that you can see through a glass, to a glass window, is going to be usher, because lo yirebecha ervas davar amarachmana. Pasuk says you can't see the erva, but ha kam eschazia, and here you're able to see the erva. So it's, even though it's a glass separation, it's going to still be a problem because seeing through glass is still considered re'ia. Some of the posts talk about seeing things through glasses that halachically consider seeing. There's a halacha also in Tazria about Saras, about coin, the coin has to actually see the nega, and the Teferis Yisrael, Masechas Negayim, says, let's say the coin has glasses, and he's looking at the Saras through his glasses, is that considered re'ia or not? He says, based on our Gemara, since we say that it's considered seeing the erva through the glass is still considered re'ia, that's going to be considered a proper re'ia for the Kohen. The Magen Avraham talks about Kadesh Levana. If you're supposed to see the sun, the moon during Kadesh Levana, if you're seeing it through glasses, is that okay? He says yes, also based on the Rashba and based on our Gemara. I think there are some who have a chumrah to like take off their glasses if they get an aliyah or something. I don't know. I think that's a chumrah. I don't know if it's a bigger than halacha, but I think that is a chumrah that is out there. Also talking about seeing an erva and davening and saying Krishna, when you see an erva, Rabbeinu Yonah, right over here in the back of the Gemara, talks about bris milah. You say a bracha and a bris milah, and there's a naked baby in the room. You can't say brachas in front of a naked baby. Rabbeinu Yonah says that some actually are, there's a minhag to cover the baby during the makom hamila during the bracha, but he says, no way, you don't have to actually do that. The baby is so young, that's not considered an erva. That's the Shulchan Aruch Paskin in Reish Samachay and Yoredeya in the halakos of bris milah. It's not considered an erva. Also, that's the mitzvah you're doing. That's part of the mitzvah. That's not going to be a problem either. That's Rabbeinu Yonah right on this Gemara over here. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Abaye, tsoa kol shehu mevatla berok. If you have a small amount of tsoa of excrement, you can be mevatla, you can nullify it by spitting into it. Amar Rava, uberok ava, as long as it is a very thick saliva. Amar Rava, tsoa beguma maniach sandalo alav korei kriyashma. If there's tsoa, it's in a ditch, put your shoe over the ditch, covering it up, and then you could say kriyashma. Ba marbre de ravina, tsoa devuka besandalo mahu. Let's say it's tsoa that's attached to your shoe. Is that a problem or is that okay? Take with the Gemara, leaves that one unresolved. Amar Rav Yehuda, Akum Arum Asur Lekos Kriyashma Knegdo. We said you can't say Kriyashma in front of an Erva. The Gemara clarifies even if it's a non-Jew who is inappropriately dressed. Mar asks, what's the reason for the distinction? Mar Irya Akum Afili Yisrael Nami. I don't care if it's a Jew or a non-Jew. Erva is Erva. It's a problem either way. So now Yisrael Pshitalei to Asur. We know Yisrael is going to be a problem to say Kriyashma in front of an Erva of a Jew. Ela Akum Etzrichalei. You still need to teach me that an Akum is also a problem. Why? Maudatema Holbek Sibahu Asur. Asher Basar Chamorim Bisaram, the Pasuk compares the basar, the flesh of an akum, to a chamor, to a donkey. So Ema Kechamor Ba'almahu, maybe halachically speaking, the erva of an akum is comparable to an erva of a behema. Kamash Mulan, that no, to Inhu Nami Eku erva, it's also considered an erva if it's an akum. Dechsiv, the ervas avihem lo ra'u. That's a Pasuk by Noach. Noach was not Jewish, and if the Pasuk refers to it as an erva, we see even the erva of an akum is going to be a problem. So we spoke about tzoa ba'ashashis, and then we spoke about tzoa beguma and covering it up with your shoe, and then we spoke about the erva of an akum. Mishnah continued, v'lo yaskase, lo b'mayim haroim, lo b'may ha-mishra, ad sheyati l'sofen mayim. You cannot cover yourself with dirty water. That's may ha-mishra that was used for soaking flax, which apparently also makes water very disgusting. But you could dilute those dirty waters with some clean water to make it okay. That's what the Mishnah had said. The Gemara doesn't understand this. V'kama mayim rami va'azil. If it's so dirty, if it's mayim haroim, how much water are you going to pour in there in order to dilute it? You need gallons of water to dilute this dirty water and to make it clean enough. Ella, hachikamar, this is what the Mishnah actually said. Lo yaskase, lo b'mayim haroyim, lo b'may ha-mishra, klal. You can't use dirty, these muddy waters for the mikvah to cover yourself at all, because they're so disgusting. But meira glayim, if there's urine in that mikvah, then achiyati l'sochan mayim v'yikare, then you would be allowed to pour water in to dilute the meira glayim, and then you'd be able to say kriyashma, because pouring water into meira glayim can actually effectively nullify it. How much do you have to pour in? Tana rabbanan. Tama yate l'sochan mayim. How much do you have to pour into the yemer glayim to make it not a halachic problem anymore? Kolshu. The first opinion says any amount of water, of clean water. Rav Zakkai Omer Revias. Rav Zakkai says it has to be a revias of water. Amar Rav. What exactly was this? Machlokes. Amar Rav Nachman. Sorry. Machlokes levasof. This machlokes is about after the fact. You see meraglayim on the floor, and you want to nullify it. So how much you have to put in? Either a kolshu or a revias. Ava betchila kolshein. If there's any amount of water, of clean water on the floor, and then meraglayim falls in, then that's going to be whether even any amount. Everyone's going to agree, as Rashi says, it's like every single drop of meraglayim that falls in is going to be batel, even if it's a tiny amount. That's the halakha, the halakha concept of kama batel, that each drop is going to be batel. That's machlokas according to Rav Nachman. For Rav Yosi Tamar, machlokas lechatchila. The machlokas is about before the fact, when you have water on the ground and meraglayim is going to fall into it. Aval levasof, dereakol revias, but if there's meraglayim on the ground, everyone agrees that you're going to have to pour in a revias to nullify it. And Amalar Rav Yosef leshamei, Rav Yosef told his shamish who was helping him, I see the reviasa demaya, kirav zakai, bring me a revias of water, because we pass on like Rav Zakai that you need a revias of water to nullify the meraglayim. Tana Rabbanan, graf shel re'i, ve'avit shel meraglayim. Let's say you have a graf shel re'i, a waste pan, that's used for re'i, for excrement, or the same thing, but it's used for meraglayim, even if it's clean. So there isn't actually any physical tzoa in there, or meraglayim in there, but it's a kli that's always designated for that purpose. That's going to be a problem also. Also, that goes kriyashma kenegdan, va'af al pisha ein behem klum. Even if it's empty, it's still going to be a problem. This graf shel re'i, or avit shel meraglayim. Meraglayim atman, as we said, achiyati l'solchan mayim. If it's urine itself, you can pour water in to dilute it. Mekamayatil, as we said, kamayatil l'solchan mayim, kolshu, either a kolshu, and Rav Zakkai Omer, a revias. But we're talking about now the graf shel re'i, this empty waste pan that's always used for waste. So first we say, bein lefnei hamita, bein la'achar hamita. Lefnei hamita means that it is on your same side of the bed, so it's directly in front of you. And whether it's in front of you or la'achar hamita, there's a bed that's separating between you and the graf shel re'i. Either way, it's going to be a problem. That's the first opinion. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel lomer, la'achar hamita, kore, lefnei hamita, eino kore. He makes a distinction between whether it's on your side of the bed or the other side of the bed. It's not going to have the same halacha. Arba machag arba amos v'kore, just move 4 amos away and say kriyashma. We're going to clarify that opinion in the next line. Then Rav Shimon ben Elazar lomer, afilu bayis meya amo lo yikore, ashe yotzei moshe yenichim tachas hamita. Even if it's a huge room, if it's in the same room as you, you can't say the graf shel re'i is in the same room. You can't say kriyashma at all unless you take it out or you put it under the bed to cover it up. But anywhere in the same room is going to be a problem. You can't just move 4 amos away. So ibaylu hechi kamar Rav Shimon Gamliel. What is Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion? Achar hamita kore miyad lefnei hamita machaka ba'amos v'kore. He said something about moving 4 amos away. Is that talking about when it's lefnei hamita? If it's on your side of the bed, then you still need to move 4 amos away. on the other side of the bed, it's going to be okay because the bed is a mechitza. Oh, Dilma, hachi kamar. La'achar amita rachdal ramos v'korei. Lefnei amita ino korei klal. Four amos is going about when the bed is a separation, then you still need to go four amos away. But if it's on your side of the bed, you can't say kriyashma at all. So what exactly was Rav Shmuel ben Gamliel's opinion when he said dalet amos? Is dalet amos going on the fnei hamita when it's on your side of the bed, or the achar amita on the other side of the bed? So toshma, the tanya, Rav Shmuel ben Elazar omer. We have a proof from the following. Rav Shmuel ben Elazar says, achar amita kore miyad, lefnei amita machar arba amos, that it clearly arba amos is going on the lefnei amita when it's on the same side of the bed. Rav Shmuel ben Elazar omer, as we said before, this shita, of afilu bayis meya ama, lo yikore achi yotzie moshe yenichem tachas amita, anywhere in the house is going to be a problem because the whole room is considered the same airspace. So great, Bayan Ifshatalan, you answered our question about whether Dalet Amos is going on the Fnei Amita or the Achar Amita, but Masnisa Kasha Adade, if you were keeping score, if you were following along, the two names of each opinion were flipped. We had Rav Shmuel Gamliel saying one thing, Rav Shmuel Elazar saying something else, and we completely flipped who says what in the second Brisa. So it answered our question, but it also raised more questions because it confused the Shitos. So we say, fine, Epoch Basraisa, just flip the second Brisa, and now the names line up with the appropriate Shitos. Machazis Da'afachta Basraisa, Epoch Kamaisa. Why are you switching the names in the second brisa? Maybe switch names in the first brisa. So man shemasle da amar kule abayis kar arba amos dami of Shimon ben Elazar. Who's the one who says that the entire bias is considered in arba? It's considered it's all the same domain. It's all considered arba amos. We know that's the shita of Shimon ben Elazar, and therefore we want him to line up with that opinion of saying that the whole house is going to be a problem, and you have to remove the graf shari. So Gemara is very interesting. The Gemara says, everybody knows Rav Shimon ben Elazar is the one who holds that the whole house is considered the same domain. Rashi has a very important line over here. Rashi says, I didn't know that. Rashi says, lo yadati hechani. I have no idea what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara says that we know from elsewhere in Shas that this is what Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds. Rashi says, I've learned Shas, and I can't find that manda omar Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And if the Eger says on the left side of the Gemara, on the Galion HaShas, he says, it's a very interesting point to see that Rashi says, I don't know. If the Eger points out all the, it's like 70 or so places in Shas, but Rashi says, I don't know. Rashi's not afraid to say that he doesn't know. It actually Gemara Masech is in Brachos, like I guess like 20 weeks ago, on Daf Dalet. The Gemara says, Lamed Lashon Chalomar Eini Yodea. You should teach your tongue to say, I don't know. We shouldn't be embarrassed to say, I don't know. It's actually the Tosas Yantif in Negayim also. It says that we say, when you go to the coin, if you have a Nega, you say, Ta Nega. You say, I have something that, I go to the coin, I think I have Taras. I say, I have something that looks like it might be Taras. And all of Yerushalayim try to understand, why don't you just say, I have Taras? Why do you have to say, Kanega, this thing looks like Taras? So the Gentif says, it's because Kanega, you should teach yourself to say, I don't know what it actually is. You go to ask a Shaila, you say, I don't know. It might be a problem, it might not be a problem. I don't know. I'm here to ask you for your guidance. So in general, we see from Rashi over here, the importance of being able to say, I don't know, and not to be embarrassed to say, Lo Yadati. I'm not sure what the halach is, what the Gemara is talking about. Gemara continues, Amar of Yosef, Ba'amine Merav Huna, Mita Pachos Nishlosha, Pshita Lidze Kalavadami. We mentioned the bed being a separation, being a machitza between you and the Graf Shara'i, the empty waste pan that's designated for being used for waste. So how does that work, the bed being a separation? After all, the bed, all of our beds have an airspace beneath the bed. Is that a problem? A machitza has to go straight from the top of the machitza to the floor. But our beds have an airspace. Is that okay? Is that not okay? So he asked, and he said, I know that if the airspace is less than 3 tefachim, it's okay, it's kilavod dami. The lacha of lavod is that a space that's less than 3 tefachim is considered as if it's not a space at all. Halachically speaking, it's like it's a solid wall. So that's definitely going to be okay if the space under the bed is less than 3 tefachim. But let's say it's shlosha, arba, chamisha, shisha, shiva, shmona, teisha, ma'u. Let's say it's between 3 tefachim and 9 tefachim. Him. Is that okay or is it not okay? That's his question. Amale, lo yadana, I don't know. Also not afraid to say he doesn't know. But asara vadai lo mibayli. I know for sure that a 10 tefach airspace under the bed is definitely going to be a problem. That's not going to be a machitza. And amar abaye, shabir avarta de lo ibayelecha. You're right to not have a question about 10 because kol asara reshusa achrisahi. 10 tefachim is considered its own domain. Definitely a 10 tefach airspace under the bed is not going to make, the bed's not going to be a good machitza if there's such a big airspace underneath. But still, we have the question about all the other different measurements. So amar rava, Helkasa, Pachas Mishlosha Kilavadami, less than 3 tefachim is like lavad, it's like a solid wall, that is a good mechitza. Asara, if it's 10, Rishusa Achrisi, that's not going to be good because it's like its own domain, it's like a separate entity. And Mishlosha, the Adasara, between 3 and 10, that was our question. Hayde Debaiminei Merav Yosef, Yob Yosef, Merav Huna, Velo Pashatle, and we didn't have an answer to that question about between 3 tefach and 9 tefach. Amarav, Halachak Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Bachin Amar Bali Amar Rav Yaakov, Berad Debashmuel, Halachak Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Berava Amar, Ein Halacha, of Shimon Elazar. We have the Shita of Shimon Elazar that if there's anywhere in the room a graf shel re'i, you have to cover it up. And the Machlokes and the Amoraim, how we paskin about that idea. Now the final idea from today's daf, Rabbi Chai Yasek Leil Lebre. Rabbi Chai was making a wedding for his son, Bei Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, and in Rav Yitzchak's house, and the Aile Lechuppah, and they brought him to the Chuppah, and after the Chuppah, after the wedding, they went home with his Kala, the Chasm went home with his Kala, Lo Hava Mastaya Milsa, and he wasn't able to consummate the marriage, he couldn't have beer with his Kala, there were some issues they were having. So what was going on? So Azal Basrei, so his father, the Chasm's father, Rav Chai, went after them, the Iune, to go check out the room that they were in, the Chasm and Kala, see what the problem was, and Chaza Sefer Torah de Mancha. He saw a Sefer Torah that was uncovered, that was just out in the open, in the same bedroom. So Amar Lahu, Echu Hashta Lo Asai, if I had not come, sakanta in the breed, it would have been a sakana, would have been dangerous for my son, the chasan. Because Ditanya, it says in a brisa, bayis sheyesh bo sefer Torah o tefillin, asa l'shamish bo samita. You can't have tashmish, you can't have relations with your wife if there's a sefer Torah or tefillin in the same room, at sheyotzim, unless you take it out of the room, o sheya nechem kli b'so kli, or you put it within a kli b'so kli, a double covering. And I think the same is also true for sfarim in general. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela b'kli she'eno klian. And a covering only helps if it's not its own designated kli. If it's the kli that's always used for that, for example, a tefillin bag, that bag's always around the tefillin, that's not going to be considered a covering. Afilo asaramani kichad manadami. And if you have 10 tefillin bags, if you always have 10 bags around your tefillin, that's not going to be considered even a double covering at all. That you have to have a covering on addition to the any designated coverings. Amar Rava glima akamtera keklibas ol kli dami, and Rava says that a glima, a clever way of doing this, if you put it akamtera, you put the Sefer Torah inside of a closet or like a bookshelf, and then you cover it with a glima, a cloak on top of it, that could be a klibas ol kli. Let's just go quickly to the two dots to end the inyan. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi Sefer Torah tzarech lasos lo mechitza asara. He says you have to put a 10 tavach mechitza between you, your bed, and the Sefer Torah if you're going to have tashmish. And Marzutra ikla lebei Rav Ashi. Marzutra went to Rav Ashi's house and chazil aduchte de mar bar Rav Ashi. He went to mar bar Rav Ashi's bedroom to go and check it out, and he saw the manach bei Sefer Torah the avale mechitza asara. So there was a Sefer Torah in the bedroom, and he was following the halacha. He had a 10 tefach mechitza between the bed and the Sefer Torah. But he had problems with this. Amar le Kiman, who are you going like to have this mechitza between your bed and the Sefer Torah? Rav Yeshua ben Levi, who said that you can have a mechitza. But no, Emar da Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, delays le besa achrina. That you can only rely on the mechitza between your bed and the Sefer Torah if there's no other room to possibly put the Sefer Torah. But Mar, ha is le besa achrina. You have other rooms in the house. You can put the Sefer Torah somewhere else. So don't just keep it in your bedroom and put a mechitza. Just take it out of the room. Amar le lav da asai. He says, oh, shkoyach, I didn't know that. The halacha. Thanks for telling me that you shouldn't rely on this mechitza unless you really need to. So we're going to stop over here. We spoke about a lot today. We spoke about soa, we spoke about reach rasha yesh lewiker, reach rasha ein lewiker, soa overes, that's passing through. We said suffix soa, we should be machmir, tzadik miraglayim, we can be mekel. We spoke about the shiur, about at what point is the soa is dried up, is it still a problem? Miraglayim that's dried up is going to be okay if it's not wet anymore. We spoke about libo roa es ha'erva, and so about Ashashis, if it's in a glass container, an erba, that you're seeing through a glass thing, and how an erba of an akum, of a non-Jew, is also a problem. And we spoke about graf shel re'i, even if it's empty, but it's a designated waste pan that's used for excrement, that's going to be a problem, you should cover it up. And we lastly spoke about a bed being a machitza between your bed, where you're having tashmish with your wife, and a sefer Torah in the same room, you should have a separation. Next week, we're going to finish this parak and move on to Tzfilas HaShachar.